This is At Issue on WGXC Acra. I'm Debbie Mayer.
I'm Deborah Gilbert.
And our guest
is Supervisor William Hughes Jr.
Welcome, Billy.
Yes, welcome, Bill.
Thank you.
Bill is supervisor of the 4th Ward in Hudson. And so he's going to be speaking with us a bit today about county issues, specifically the recent decision by the Board of Supervisors to pay legal bills that were charged in two different cases. So Bill's going to talk about that. Bill, it's yours.
Absolutely. And seems like we never have a shortage of conversation about county issues lately. And these are just two of the latest. And I noticed when you showed the paper, you talked about the title of the paper, and the title is
the headline is in the Register Star from last Friday: County will pay $115,000 for Mossman's legal bills.
Yeah, and that's an unfortunate title. It's sort of misleading, in the fact that it isn't Mr. Mossman's bill
personally.
One is the county's bill, and the reason why it's the county bill is we have this resolution that we passed some time ago regarding department heads, which would indemnify them from legal fees regarding their capacity of working, you know, in their job for the county. And so that's what the legal bills came about, is there was, you know, a grand jury call, and there was to be some issues looked into in the agency by the DA. And as a result, we were supposed to, a judge ordered that we were supposed to indemnify the commissioner. And that's where the bills resulted from that issue.
Right. So they're agency bills.
Exactly.
Do you think anyone would serve in public office if they thought they might be liable for $100,000 in legal bills?
Well, that brings up a great point. And I thought about that when I read the article, is I said, geez, you know, we're always looking for really good qualified people to run county departments.
Right.
And one of the things that disturbed me initially about the whole issue was when you have, let's say, the law enforcement or the legal arm of the county looking into issues with county department heads, that really is a big deal. And people in the county don't realize how big of a deal that is, especially in an agency of the magnitude of DSS. I mean, it's the largest department in the county by far.
Yeah, is it? Yeah. Do you know approximately how many people work there?
I believe we have 140 there, maybe 150. I mean,
a budget of several million dollars. You
know, the budget is about $45 million.
Wow.
We have Pine Haven, but we kept separate books in a separate department. So,
right.
But if you're looking at direct county agencies with direct impact in the community, it would be DSS. You have, agencies like that being looked at, it's quite disturbing to us as supervisors. So we were a bit shaken up. We didn't know the particulars and still don't. And not that we need to, that's at the preview of the DA. He has sole discretion looking into any issues that he so chooses.
Why don't you know the particulars? Were they kept private for a reason? Maybe because minors, children were involved?
It could have been a whole host of things. It could have been HIPAA regulations, could have been some legal requirements, or if a grand jury was called and you're still going through details or looking into evidence, that's above our pay grade and our preview, so we wouldn't be entitled to that information. It wouldn't reach us until maybe there were actual charges filed, and then we had to address something directly with whatever department head that they were looking at. That never materialized. Again, that then raises questions, because we're told that there's issues in DSS, and we're just never given details of what those issues are. So you leave that lingering out there, and the end result of what we see is, the legal fees that we now have to pay to indemnify, you know, some of the individuals that, that were being looked at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just a really complicated issue.
It really
is, and actually, yeah, you know, quite painful for a lot of people, including the commissioner that retired.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, and it's not great for us or the taxpayers as well. You know,
no, it isn't, because the taxpayer is ending up paying
right.
these.
We have a pretty hefty bill here. Yeah, that we had to pay.
They come out of taxes. Yeah, I noticed that at the end of this article in the Register Star, Patrick Grattan, who leads the Board of Supervisors, said that he expected the county to be reimbursed by the state through DSS.
Okay.
It's still the taxpayer, well, so it comes out of your state taxes.
Well, you're right there. And when we expect to be paid from New York State is we have a mechanism within DSS which we get reimbursed a certain percentage of some of our expenses. That is capped. So if...
Oh, really?
Right. So if we exceed our expenses that we incur in that department, and this is department-wide, then anything we spend over that, we aren't reimbursed. Now, we haven't reached that cap yet. So we believe that if we can add these legal fees to that budget, we may be able to recoup upwards of 60%. That's not a guarantee, though. You know, that we're hoping that that's could be the case.
Yeah. Supervisor Grattan didn't say it was guaranteed.
Yeah. No, it's not a guarantee.
Yeah.
We need to take a moment and introduce Supervisor Sarah Sterling, who's a Hudson supervisor, who's just joined us.
Good morning.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Glad to see you. Okay. Let's just continue. Bill, is there anything else you want to say about this?
Can we also discuss the Delahunt
sure. Just to close off with this is obviously, well, hopefully this is behind us as supervisors. I'm hoping this could be some level of closure for the outgoing commissioner, Commissioner Mossman, and hopefully the DA has, you know, did all the fact finding and looking that he needs to do, and then we can move on from this.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, like I said, an unfortunate incident that hopefully we can all put behind us.
Okay. So, yes, the other bill that we're talking to Supervisor Bill Hughes about is the bill for legal fees in the David Delahunt case. Can you tell us about that?
And that's about $15,000, $16,000.
No, that's about $43,000.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's $43,000 that will be paid for legal bills to the Kinderhook Village, the village of Kinderhook, and the town. And that case is much, much more complicated.
Yeah.
Much more complicated than I can explain.
Okay.
Really, that any of us. What I can tell you is what we know.
Oh,
From public records. From public records that, you know, where it initially started, where a dispute between the DA looking for records from, at the time, Judge Delahunt, and they had some dispute going back and forth there. The details is quite lengthy, so read up on that. I don't want to get into that in the radio.
Yes.
But so they went back and forth, and it ended up where a lawsuit was filed by the DA's office trying to get a hold of these records from Judge Delahunt. Went to court. It was determined that Judge Delahunt was in the right, and then that legal fees were going to have to be reimbursed to the village and also the town where Judge Delahunt sits.
Right.
It just went back and forth, a lot of legal terms and legal situations that I don't quite understand. I'm not a lawyer. So
I remember some form was sent to the wrong entity, whether it was the town or the village. And,
well, it wasn't sent to the wrong entity. What had happened is it was altered. And there's still a lot of speculation going around of was it improperly altered or was it done by a mistake? At the end of the day, a paper was altered, whether mistake or intentionally, it was altered, and the third judicial, the appellate court, or the third judicial, was very unhappy on the in the fact of how that happened.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, tensions got high in the community because people were saying, you know, there was something nefarious here, and then you had other the other side saying that it wasn't, it didn't rise quite to that level. I'm not sure where we are as far as that goes.
Are these kind of legal bills? It's almost $200,000. Business as usual. Does the county normally have to pay about that much to defend its officials?
Well, I mean, we've paid legal bills since I've been on the board. I've been on the board since 2007, and we have paid legal bills in excess of $10,000-$15,000. We've had some settlements, private settlements of lawsuits that I'm unaware of the amounts. But I can't recall paying anything like this for the DA's office, mm-hmm. or probation or any kind of legal office that we have in the county. So, no, mm-hmm. I don't, not in my tenure anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'll say, this is Sarah Sterling, that one thing that complicates also, aside along with the $43,000 Chica's personal legal bills for this, originally his lawyer said it was pro bono, and I don't know what's happened since then, but apparently there's $16,000 or $17,000 that we will have to pay there. And also,
for Chica or for Delahunt?
For Chica.
For Chica. Uh-huh.
And another, what's complicated that sometimes is that a lot of the lawyers, the county lawyers, some of them work as attorneys for the various towns and villages. Right. And Rob Fitzsimmons is the lawyer either for the town or village of Kinderhook. I don't uh-huh. know which.
I believe it's the village.
So he had to recuse himself. So mm-hmm. then we have to hire another lawyer. Uh-huh. So that adds to legal bills, too.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that I think we've cleaned up mm-hmm. In the county lawyers, but there's still that lawyers doing double duty going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Sarah Sterling. I just want to remind everyone that this is At Issue on WGXC ACRA 90.7 on your radio dial. Thank you for that, Sarah. What else, Deborah, do you want to ask?
Well, we've heard a lot about, I know this is a, it's more of an election issue, and it involves more the city of Hudson, but I read recently that wards were first developed in Hudson maybe to give minority groups a better say in elections. Does anyone know anything about that?
The first I heard of this was I heard them reading it in council of why the ward boundaries were established is to give equal representation. I don't know if they meant specifically to minority groups, but it was to give equal representation to the respective groups in the city of Hudson. Now, at the time, if people will look at the dynamics of the city of Hudson, I'm just thinking in my head of how it was back then. Hudson was pretty diverse. You had a big Jewish population, Italian mm-hmm. population, Irish population, of course, African-American population. It was
must have had a Polish population.
Polish, yes. So you had a very diverse city with a much higher population as well.
Right.
So, you know, I can't go back that far as to think what they were looking at when they drafted that legislation. So I'm not sure what they were getting at. But I know it doesn't necessarily reflect the times of today.
Uh-huh.
Right. And we've heard in the news that maybe 100 voters are voting in the wrong ward.
So that issue is so very, very complicated. I listen to the aldermen talk about this, and they say mm-hmm. it's easy. The charter says this. Let's just, you know, correct the lines back to the way the charter says.
Yeah.
Well, I've approached many people on this issue, and I really didn't get involved until I heard them saying, well, we're just going to change the boundaries back to the way the charter says. And I went and looked, and I said, well, wait a minute. Since I've been in office, and this is since 2003,
Right, because you were first an alderman, correct? Yes.
Since 2003, mm-hmm. The ward boundaries have been as laid out currently.
As they are now.
Right,
yeah.
which has the 4th Ward extending all the way up to, on both sides of the road, of Harry Howard, mm-hmm. all the way up to Paddock. And the charter says that the 4th Ward would go to the northeasterly line of North 5th Street. And if you ran that line, and which they claim they did, if you run that line from North 5th Street on a northerly trajectory, it bisects the now new Fireman's Home, and
right.
it would pretty much cut out the whole swath of crosswinds. So I then started investigating this myself. And the first thing I did is I went and I started looking around and seeing where the records were and where some of the maps and things originated from. And then I came across a letter that was sent from, at the time, one of the county attorneys, Brent Stack, to the city of Hudson in 2011.
Hmm.
I don't know if it was addressed to the mayor at the time, which would have been Mayor Scalera, but it was received by Council President Don Moore, who did sign it, stamped it, and it was received.
That he had received
this letter. Uh-huh. And on that letter, it said that there was a discrepancy as far as the planning department in the county. There was a discrepancy because of the census and the boundaries and the population of the 4th and 5th wards based in that area. So I was like, wow, so we've known about this since 2011.
Uh-huh.
You know, and no one has heard any more about this. And then all of a sudden, you know, I started hearing this talk about we need to do these changes immediately here in 2015, 4 years later.
Yeah.
And my stance on that was, if there was real intent about honoring the voters and the what the voters wanted. These people, I talked to many people in the 4th Ward, and none of them are really happy about the issue, especially the ones that live along Harry Howard and Lucille Drive,
uh-huh.
And also the Fireman's Home. So when you talk to them, they're like, look, we've had our same representation for 60, 70, 80 years. Now all of a sudden you're telling us that, you know, this is going to change. What are you guys doing about it? And I said, well, look, I want to know where the change. And I asked, you know, the commissioner of the Board of Elections, and I asked, you know, Council President Moore. I was like, when were these changes made? Because nobody is clear. It was, as far as we know, it was like that when Ben Morrell was in office, and you're talking 60 years ago. So it preceded him. So we want to know when these changes were made. Who gave the directive to make these changes? Because the commissioner of the Board of Elections, at least the Democratic commissioner, is saying that they take their orders or their direction from the city. So then I said, if that's the case, then maybe the city issued an executive order, a resolution, or some form of documentation to direct the Board of Elections to make those changes. And if that is indeed the case, where is that legislation? Did anybody look for it? What is the Board of Elections doing? Are they looking for it? Is the city of Hudson looking for any documentation? No, their alternative answer to this is, well, look, the charter says this, let's change it, and then maybe we'll look for that documentation, or maybe we'll look for something, or maybe we'll just change the wards altogether. And I'm saying no. I wrote a letter to the board, commissioner of the Board of Elections. I said no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you, if you really want a quick fix to this, you put it on the referendum. Let the people of the 4th and 5th Ward decide who they mm-hmm. want to govern them mm-hmm. and how they want their borders mm-hmm. drawn.
Yeah, you could do that. We're talking to Supervisor William Hughes, Jr. He's supervisor of the 4th Ward, which means he represents the 4th Ward on the county level. And he's held that position since 07, did you
07.
Say? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I mean, it just seems to me, however, what I've heard is that there's risk of voter fraud, basically. Not only honoring the voters, but election fraud, mm-hmm. not voter fraud, mm-hmm. election fraud. You're rolling your eyes, Bill.
It's totally ridiculous. That's a fear-mongering thing to make people seem as though something nefarious is going on here.
Yeah.
There's nothing of the sort. You know, when crosswinds were being developed in the city of Hudson, they went through, looked at the area. It wasn't me. It wasn't anyone in the city office who decided now that crosswinds, is now going to vote in the fourth ward. That was a combination of the Board of Elections, the city, and people should not forget it was Governor Patterson at the time who came down and christened the opening of Crosswinds, and nobody spoke of it at that time that Crosswinds was not in the fourth ward.
Right, and that was in 11 when Crosswinds opened.
No, it was before 2011.
Okay.
Is there a regular process where maybe census reports are evaluated and then the wards are reapportioned? Has anyone ever has that ever been done?
It's done nationwide, really. And it's done, it could be done every 10 years where you can go in and you can, you know, redistrict your boundaries if you so choose. You can look at your census tracts. Our census tracts do not mirror the voting wards, and they shouldn't, actually. The census tracts are broken up into blocks, and that makes it so the census people who are going around the city can count the population. Mm-hmm. The ward boundaries should mirror our voting districts, and unfortunately, there seems to be some discrepancy between the city's ward boundaries and the Board of Elections voting districts.
Yeah.
And that's where the rubber meets the road, is how did that come about? And no one seems to have that answer. Now, I highly doubt that someone just went in the Board of Elections some 80 years ago and drew their own lines in the Board of Elections. You know, there had to be a reason of why those lines were changed. And I would like to have the answer to that. Did they get directive? Did they get written directive, for one? Because if they did, that would show intent of the city. And that would trump the charter, in my opinion. But be that as it may.
Yeah, be that as it may. Instead of looking backward, should we look forward?
Well, if we were looking forward, then you would go to the people of the 4th and 5th wards
and do a referendum.
And say, this is how you want, how do you want your wards
works for me
to reflect your opinion. Mm-hmm. Put it on the referendum. It could have been done in 2012 because we knew in 2011 that this was an issue.
Right.
It could have been done in 2013. Could have been done in 2014. Here we are in 2015, a month before the election, we're saying, well, it has to be done right away. We got to get this done right away. It's some urgency.
Before this election.
We had 4 years to do it, and we knew about it 4 years ago. Why wasn't it done then?
Okay. Listen, this is At Issue on WGXC Acra 90.7, and I fixed up a song so that we could take a break. Actually, never fixed it up. So we're going to try a short break now, and then we'll come back with Supervisor William Hughes and Supervisor Sarah Sterling and Deborah Gilbert and Debbie Mayer. Okay, so we're back here on At Issue on WGXC Acra 90.7 on your radio dial. I'm Debbie Mayer.
I'm Deborah Gilbert.
And we have with us Supervisor Bill Hughes from the 4th Ward and Supervisor Sarah Sterling from the 1st Ward of Hudson. So, Bill, you're about to take off your earphones and go do something else.
I am. I have more business at hand.
Before you leave, I just want to ask a question to both of you. It's August. Many, many people are taking vacations. You can tell because there's not as much traffic as usual. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder, do people on the Board of Supervisors have any time to take some time off for yourselves?
I love that question because I often hear aldermen say, you know, I'm going to run for supervisor because I'll have less meetings and more time. And you can ask Supervisor Sterling. That is so not true.
Right.
I sit on 11 committees, and I actually had to remove myself off of 3.
Uh-huh.
The job could be as busy as you want it to be. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, though, we do have our meeting structured so as that you can squeeze vacation in there the first of the month or towards the end of the month, too. We have some downtime. But we have some other supervisors that, you know, they'll take a couple of weeks in between and they're just, you know, they're just not there. And the job still gets done. There's enough of us sitting on the Board of Supervisors where an adequate job can be done. And we have, we do have a good governmental system, I believe.
Uh-huh.
I think we have some very good people on the board. We have some brilliant minds from business, you know, local government all the way down. So I think we have a good core group of people right now.
Good. Sarah, are you taking a vacation?
Well, not in August. My garden keeps me busy right here this month. But, yeah, I do plan around the first of the month if I want to go somewhere. I know that usually it's calm then, although some months it's not calm.
It's not.
If you have a disaster that comes up. But pretty much you can put in as much time as you want. Mm-hmm. And the Hudson supervisors were not running a town or village also when the other supervisors are.
Yes.
Right. But we do attend all the City of Hudson meetings.
Yes.
And at least the formal meetings.
Yeah.
And as much as we can, we're involved in both. And, the next topic coming up is I'm also on the CDC representing Hudson.
So she doesn't have enough meetings.
No.
She goes to the CDC.
Give me some more.
Right. Yes.
Well, it's actually good to hear that you are going to get some time off.
Yeah, I'm actually thankful for Sarah. She came along, and you know, I'm also minority leader on the Board of Supervisors, and I named her as my deputy. And I have a great deal of confidence in her, but another thing is I love just passing. You know what? I can't do this committee, Sarah. Can you? And she jumps right in there and has shown a willingness to do that, and two, had actually in some respects a lot of, you know, more ability than me when it comes to the finances. So become a pretty good team.
I'm sure you have.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun together.
Yes, right. And you have fun doing it. That's good.
We try to keep it fun.
Yeah.
When it gets heavy, you can step back and go, wait a minute, this is not supposed to be.
We don't let it fall into the debauchery going on over there at the council.
No, I'm glad you don't.
We keep it civilized.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay. Well, Sarah, you want to talk about CEDC, starting with Columbia Economic Development Corporation, is what that means. And, Bill, you can go if you want. Okay.
All right.
You're welcome to stay.
So I'm headed out, and I'd like to say have a good day to everybody, and Sarah will take care of you and bring you guys up to date on CEDC.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Yeah, so start by telling the listener what CEDC is.
Well, the alphabet soup gets so confusing.
It does.
CEDC is actually a separate organization, and these are set up like Hudson has the HDC. So these development corporations are set up as separate entities.
Do you know what those stand for?
Oh, she HDC? Certainly does. Hudson Development Corp.
That's Hudson Development Corp. CEDC is Columbia Economic Development Committee. Mm-hmm. The county also has an Economic Development Committee.
Yes.
And sometimes people get confused all the time because they think the first C is for county instead of Columbia.
Yes, and as I learned recently, these are set up because the government agencies cannot give money,
right,
loans or grants.
And also
businesses.
Owning property that the CEDC is freer to buy and sell properties, which got a little complicated with the Ginsburg deal.
Yes.
As to who donated what to whom when. And again, it's a matter of records, and it gets very complicated. And lately, as we've been in the news, we've had to completely reorganize.
That's right. And you're part of the reorganization committee.
Right.
Yes.
This morning I was at the governance committee.
Okay.
Because we're rewriting the bylaws, which are ancient at this point. So that's exciting. We're actually taking bylaws from a lot of other organizations that are online. We don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Right.
Just tailor it to our organization.
Mm-hmm.
How many members we want. What do we think functions best? And just move forward.
Yeah.
We have a new interim executive director.
Yes, you want to talk about him?
Mike Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
I can't give you all his credentials right now.
I know, they're long. He's been in the field for decades.
We are so lucky to have him because he can bring in all his expertise and just say, okay, do this, do this, do this.
Mm-hmm.
It simplifies it. We don't have to agonize for months over how should we proceed. And I think within 2 to 3 months, we're totally up to date going forward.
Uh-huh. Sarah, for listeners who might not know the complicated background of the Ginsburg's food deal and how that led to a reorganization. I wondered if you could just explain that.
Briefly.
Briefly.
We have 22 minutes.
Oh, no. Oh, boy. It's complicated, and I probably won't get it right either. But essentially what CDC is, you look for economic opportunities. We've got a mission statement here, which is too lengthy to read. But
into the mic.
The CDC is set up as for economic development. This is for small and large businesses. So at one point you're trying to attract and help the biggest businesses in the county, which would be like Ginsburg's, Flanders, the fish.
Local ocean.
Which is now something amazing facility coming up.
Oh, good.
Oh, it's amazing. State of the art.
Fish or something else?
Fish. Fish.
Uh-huh. Okay, good.
In regard to that, I learned that it's going to be a saltwater fish facility. It's shifting from freshwater to saltwater.
Gosh.
And I learned about it because I saw mountains of garbage at the transfer station a few months back, and it was every week. And they were throwing out the old filters, which were gummed up, but back to the CEDC.
Yes.
Hmm. So Ginsburg's is one of the larger. We also have a small business association that that's something the county can't do, is the small business, is to do the micro loans.
Is to administrate, do you mean this, or am I confused? Administrate the SBA loans, the Small Business Administration
loans? Yeah, is under CEDC.
Yes, I know.
So we will loan anything from, I think the smallest loan is around $5,000, say. Mm-hmm. Then up to the big corporations where we also might be going out to get grants.
Right.
One is the CDC grants and other big state grants for big companies to come in. Like one, Ginsburg got a grant for equipment for $500,000.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure that one, whether it's now getting administered through CDC or through the county. There's specific.
Yeah.
questions there, which I won't go into. So at some point, Ginsburg's has been in the county for a long, long time.
Yes.
And they've wanted to expand to keep up to date with, to be competitive. And they've been looking, have been looking for a site for quite a while to build a larger facility. So this site was decided on. The confusion was where the property came from and who paid for it. And there was a lot of confusion around then, thinking it was given to us, and then it turns it wasn't.
It wasn't, that's right.
And that went on. So the public perception, and I think there was a difficulty then with the public perception, because this would be a normal business procedure. We have other properties that have been either, well, I don't know if you say gifted or low cost, or there's the Commerce Park.
Yeah.
Where we actually sell properties to organizations that come in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this one, just speaking personally from the get-go, it wasn't. So the CDC dropped the ball in the proper procedures.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So then all of a sudden, a lot of people went, well, wait a minute, this is coming to my backyard, and how did this happen, and why is it being given to Ginsburg's?
Yeah.
And whereas this is what you do in economic development, is give incentives for businesses to come in. The IDA gives pilots for companies that come in and say, we need a tax incentive to come in here. And this is what you do as a county to be competitive with other counties. If Greene County is giving you a tax pass for something, the company wants to go there, we would like it in our county and keep the jobs in Columbia County.
I think at this point we need to say a little bit about the conflict of interest that the CEDC was accused of. At first, Mr. Ginsburg was president of the board. Mr. Crawford, who is the engineer on the project, was on the board. A banker from the Kinderhook Bank, who gave Ginsburg a huge grant on the basis of the $1, on the basis of the actual value of the property they purchased for $1. And there was an attorney on the board, too, who was involved somehow. And I think the public, when they hear that, loses confidence. And I think the state investigated and was critical. And now we're wondering, will there be another investigation?
Well, that was addressed yesterday at the County Board of Supervisors Economic Development Committee meeting, which Sarah and I, Debbie, were both at.
Right.
Oh, Mike Tucker is doing it. What he did, and I'll let Sarah talk about this, but he reviewed the loans of the last 5 years.
Right.
Do you want to talk more about that?
Because there's been a question about all of these loans, like were they loaned properly?
Right.
And the procedures. And I'm not sure how many years that ABO came in. I think it was 2012 was their first investigation when they said you have to have open meetings. So that's only the
authority's budget office. It's a state office.
And they oversee all of the EDCs and IDAs.
Right.
And they basically said you are now an open organization. I can remember looking at some old meetings at the time when Ellen Thurston was the first one to ask if she could come to a meeting, and they, I think, turned her down in the beginning.
Really?
And then realized that they had to now have open meetings. Mm-hmm. So it was run as a private organization for a long, long time, with no one realizing that they had to follow these new rulings.
Yeah.
So it was, then you suddenly look at that and go, oh my gosh, and there were some things that were recused, but that was not done properly either.
Right, that's what Mike Tucker was saying yesterday. They recuse themselves, but law requires you to say why you're recusing yourself, and they just didn't do that.
And there were some things that I certainly complex that I simply was not aware of.
Uh-huh. We're talking to Sarah Sterling, who is supervisor of the First Ward in Hudson and is also on the board, correct, of the Columbia Economic Development Corporation. This is At Issue on WGXC ACRA 90.7. Sarah, back to you.
Okay, I'll say I came on as appointed as a supervisor to this board, and I'm now on the board of an IDA also as a
industrial development agency.
And the there's one more.
She's also a member of the Board of Supervisors Economic Development Committee.
Right. Along with the IDA.
And you're one of the few women on the CEDC.
Yes. Well, yeah. And Board of Supervisors.
And the Board of Supervisors, even more.
If Ellen is not running again, and if there's no other women elected, I'll be the only woman on the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah, listeners, keep that in mind. Get out there and run.
So, well, back to along with the IDA, I think it's the CRC, which is, you become part of those two, and one of them is, and I can't tell you what it is right this minute, but the IDA grants pilots, but if there's a nonprofit comes to us for some reason, this other alphabet is...
Oh, is that so? I didn't know
that. And a pilot is a tax break for a corporation.
If you remember when Kohl's came in.
Yes, I remember.
They wanted to get a pilot, and they were turned down.
Yeah, a payment in lieu of taxes. Yes.
So, all right, I'm losing my train of thought. Back to CEDC and the conflicts of interest. Everyone now, this was a huge wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been some resignations. We have a new, I came in as secretary of the board at the annual meeting in March. The president, and now in the new bylaws, it'll probably be the chairman. That's another confusing thing as to whether you're a president or a chairman or something. At the meeting next Tuesday, we will be electing a new president.
Mary Bartolotta, I believe, is serving as interim president.
Right.
But you're going to
She's vice president.
Yes, and she's vice president.
And she's not running for president.
Okay.
But she'll be running the meeting on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
There's some question. Excuse me a minute.
Okay, she's taking a drink of water in order not to have dead air. I'll describe that. Right. Okay, back to Sarah.
Okay, so we will be putting in interim officials mm-hmm. on Tuesday. We will also be discussing the new bylaws. And then officials probably in the new bylaws will be elected annually, mm-hmm. the four top officials. And that will happen in January. We'll be changing that when people are voted in.
Oh, okay.
For the board of the officials.
Are you serving like a 3-year term or something?
Yes. So I, as secretary, was brought in this year, so I will go for 2.5 more years.
Uh-huh. Good. Do you want to talk about anything more from yesterday's Supervisors Economic Development Committee meeting? I thought Mike Tucker's presentation was most interesting. I wrote about it for the Columbia paper, which I work for part-time, and my report will be in tomorrow, Thursday.
I think he clarified the loan situation.
Yes.
As to, there was a question of, sorry, you better talk again.
Okay. Sarah just goes to so many meetings and talks to so many people that she needs another drink of water.
Yeah, I hope a little later on you'll tell us which committees you serve on.
I didn't bring my list. I think also as, I'm on Public Works, Economic Development, Health and Medical, and I think there's one more, but I'm also on the negotiating team for the union contracts.
Oh, really?
Which has proved very interesting.
Uh-huh.
And then I think they try very hard to have both Democrat and Republican mm-hmm. Representatives on a lot of committees, and because there's fewer Democrats, so that we serve on a lot of the subcommittees.
Oh, okay.
And so they don't happen all the time. But, of course, it might be that week when I'm going to take a vacation.
Right.
It turns out that's the last week to negotiate the contract.
Oh, God.
Also, the Pine Haven sale has been very interesting, too, uh-huh. and we finally signed that contract.
I was just, that's completed then?
Yes.
The sale?
Well, no, the sale's not completed. The contract, mm-hmm. now we have to, the Department of Health.
Oh, yes.
Takes quite a while to review that, so that could be 6 to 9 months when the final sale would happen.
Uh-huh.
But we have everything in place as to how everything is going to happen until then.
Uh-huh.
That seems like a huge accomplishment, Sarah, because with deaccession of Pine Haven, the county loses one of its major monetary liabilities.
Yes, it's going to be huge, and I don't think anybody realized how much of a money pit it was becoming.
Really?
And this will be huge. I think our residence is the right word. Yeah.
It's the Pine Haven Nursing Home in Philmont.
People would be better served with the new organization coming uh-huh. in, Premier coming in. Better care. There's going to be, we just approved someone to get some severe wound treatment program in there, so that's mm-hmm. another thing that we can do. There's a lot of physical therapy out there now.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good facility, and our census is actually up.
Oh, good.
We went from about 85. The latest census, I think, is 105.
Uh-huh. And how many beds are there?
123.
Okay.
So we want to
mm-hmm.
keep that up
yeah.
as high as possible, because then you don't want the Department of Health saying, well, your census has only been 80, so that's all we're going to approve you for.
Oh, yeah.
Beds.
Yeah.
A few months ago to maybe a year ago, we saw many signs around the county that said, don't sell a nursing home or save Pine Haven or something like that. And I wonder, did those people ever make a presentation to you, Sarah, and explain what the problems were that they foresaw?
I think the problem was the employees. We have a lot of long-term employees there who might be within 5 years of retirement, and suddenly you're looking at a good county retirement system, and then suddenly you're going to privatization. Mm-hmm. They are going to be working with the same union, and we have worked very hard to make sure that with this problem, that I think one of the things is being able to offer some kind of health insurance. I don't know the final negotiations on this. And also, if somebody's close to retirement, maybe they could work somewhere else in the county system, just transfer over to a different department mm-hmm. and keep their status. So I think everyone is pretty happy at this point with how we're going, and we're trying to be very open and transparent mm-hmm. with this process mm-hmm. and really take care of our long-term employees.
Yeah.
And short-term. Everybody that's worked there is
treated. That would be important.
Treated carefully.
Yeah. Good.
So back to the loan.
Back to the initials.
Of CEDC.
Yes.
There was a lot of question, well, how are these loans given out? Yes. Are they just cronyism again? And Mike has reviewed that, and then he's been very open. I think the supervisors on the Economic Development Committee who wanted to come in and look at the loans, I think they've realized what they can come in and look at now. We have loan procedures in place. Uh-huh. And going forward, there will probably be even better for conflict of interest. We'll be asking people when they come in for a loan, saying, do you know any of these board members?
Right.
So nip it in the bud and we can disclose everything, because mm-hmm. it's a small county. You're going to know people.
You're going to know people.
There's a lot of people who have come up for loans. I shop in their stores or something. And then there was a question about some loans that people hadn't made payments on them, and that was because the loans had just been given out, and it was the end of the year report, so they hadn't even made payments yet.
Okay.
And about three of them were big grants that are put on the books as loans mm-hmm. when they're actually grants, and they're put on there because if they default on the grant for some reason, don't do what they're supposed to, it turns into a loan.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So
that's interesting.
We cleared that up, and Mike actually says, and what I thought, that we actually have a pretty good record of non-defaulting on loans. There's very few that have actually.
It seemed very fair. Yeah. I mean, you're going to get a couple of defaults here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have a loan reserve fund that is just for that. We have to hold, I think, 20% in a bank account for these defaults.
Oh, really? Oh, interesting.
So that's something you could say, well, CEDC has all this money. Well, it's not in actual available cash.
It's
for
open.
These reserve funds.
Yes.
For the various loans.
Yeah, he said that. And speaking of open meetings, he also made the announcement, did he, am I correct on this, that and at open meetings there will be a public comment period.
Right.
Yeah.
This morning, the only person for the public was the newspaper this morning. So
oh, good. Okay.
Mike carefully asked her before she left if she had any questions.
Any comment, good.
Yeah, we're really, I think we've actually allowed public comment recently as we became open.
Have you?
Open.
Yes.
But, yeah, it's, this is the order of business these days, is you do it by the books, and it works very well. Once everything's open and transparent, you don't have angry people coming in saying, I'm not being treated fairly, or I'm misunderstood.
Right, yeah. Or accusations of 22 loans in default when really the number was nowhere near that high.
Yeah. And I think some people are behind in their payments. But actually, there's another thing you can look at is when they last made a payment. And some of them made them this month. They might be 2 months behind, but they're still making payments trying to keep up.
Yeah, it was very sweet. He said the staff calls people on the phone and says, can you make a payment? And they say, oh, okay. And they bring in $100. Those are on very small loans. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Martha Lane does a tremendous job. And this micro business seminar that's coming up, which has been really valuable.
About that.
I see that a lot in Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
That, particularly because I'm here in Hudson, but I see the names of the people coming in, and you want to start a small business. The bank isn't going to loan to you because you have no assets or whatever. I mean,
and no record.
But you might put your assets up as collateral, your office furniture or something. And then you attend these micro business seminars first to teach you how to run a business. So it helps people either, then you realize you don't want to get into business.
Right.
It's too much for you, or you go, okay, I need an accountant. I need this set up and that.
Are those courses free?
Good question. I
think you pay $150 and you either get it back as a membership to the Chamber of Commerce or a gift certificate to Staples.
Okay. That's fair.
And it's kind of like, yeah, well, you've got to have enough money to be in business. Let's be serious about
this. Right, yes.
And is there an application process?
Yes.
Is it a long, involved application process involving interviews? And
you'll definitely meet with Martha.
Yeah.
And I think everything is on it's columbiaedc.org or .com. Everything
just
is on the
Google
website
Columbia
about how you start that.
Yeah.
There is another, we call it Choose Columbia. There's another Choose Columbia in Ohio or something.
Yeah,
so
right.
It might be a little confusing the first time, but then bookmark
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But it's all, everything's on the website.
Yeah, we're getting toward the
this
end
This must be
here,
very
folks.
Gratifying.
Yes.
Yes.
We're getting toward the end. We've been speaking with Supervisor Sarah Sterling of Hudson's First Ward, who is also on the board of the Columbia Economic Development Corporation and very active with it as the secretary, among other duties. We're almost done here at Issue on WGXC ACRA 90.7. I'm Debbie Mayer.
I'm Deborah Gilbert.
We thank Sarah Sterling.
Thank you.
I think they're waiting for us to get off the air. Oh, we're okay. We've got a couple of seconds. Well, thank you, Sarah. What meeting do you have today after your morning meeting that you've already attended?
I think this is it for the day.
Oh, terrific. You can go work in your garden. That's nice. Okay.
It's a little hot today for that.
Yeah, it is. I know. I'm getting out of town.
I would say as a secretary, I don't have to take minutes.
You don't?
No.
Oh, that's so funny.
I keep the records, but we actually have a wonderful administrative assistant.
Oh, terrific.
Lisa Drahushek, and I'm relieved.
Oh, yes, and Lisa takes the minutes. That's great.
I hope you come back soon, Sarah. You've been a wealth of information.
Yes.
Thanks.
Isn't she? Okay, I think we're about to go off the air. All right, thank you, listeners, from At Issue.